Chapter 2, Order's Guard. The constant thud of the large oak doors at the end of the hall slamming against the frame rang throughout the otherwise quiet space. It always happened whenever the wind picked up outside. As the doors parted, a whisper of fresh air would break its way in, jostling the flames of the torches it passed by. There were no windows at the first sector guard post. The torches were the only light, chiseling away at everyone's sense of time. One always felt the same when working at the prison. The breeze drifted above the pot of stew hanging over a soft fire. Rekmeed's nose twitched as the scent of seasoned beef wafted under his nostrils. He looked up from the book he was reading and towards the pot, his stomach groaning in response. Reaching off to the right of the desk, he grabbed the fresh loaf of bread he had bought on his way in and broke it with a quick twist. The smell mixed with the stew and he stood quickly, filling a bowl and bringing it back to his desk in a rush. Dipping one end of the bread into the stew, Rekmeed took a bite and smiled contently. The bread started to break away with each bite, mixing with the stew and turning to paste. The hot stew warmed his throat as he swallowed. He took a sip of water to help it all go down. Rekmeed set aside the bread and picked up a spoon. He flipped open the book as he continued reading. Passing the title page, Path of Being an Inksayer, he returned to where he had left off. The book was very interesting. In his training to become a silencer, they had covered the Inksayers vigorously. There was more content on them than even the Lakesies. Though in the defense of his trainers, the only way to prepare for a Lakesie encounter was to experience it, outside the wall. Most of his peers and trainers would scoff at the book he was reading. It was authored by Cleric, an Inksayer who'd spent time with the Marked Child during the Rise of Ulric. They were all content with what was gone over in the schooling, and sought no further insight. But Rekmeed believed there was truth to every tale, and learning about spoken writing from one who contributed to it so heavily was an opportunity he would not turn down. Most of what he read had already been covered, how Inksayers were the only people capable of writing magic, detailing the word spell they would enter into and how they wrote power into words. Cleric talked about the Inklings, the faint gray characters of words that would start to form below the surface of his skin, barely visible. The Inklings started the moment the nib of his quill touched parchment. As he wrote, the Inkling would start to rise and grow in size. As he got closer to finishing, the word breached the surface of his skin, tearing through his flesh. After writing the final word in the book, the word would be formed completely. Once on top of his skin, tendrils would lash out from the word and anchor themselves into his flesh. All the books were written in the ancient language, the only language capable of maintaining the magic's power. The characters the book was written in mirrored the words that clung to Cleric's body, blackened recreations of the same symbols. The wound would need to be tended to immediately, but after it was healed, it was no worse for wear. And beyond that, he now held whatever power he had written into the word. If Cleric had written the word of fire, he would have the ability to control it. He could pass through flame unharmed, summon balls of it in his hand with a thought, smother out a forest fire with a breath. The words Cleric used to describe the feelings present in the words that had sunk into his flesh terrified Rekmeed. But there was one thing Cleric said, which no supervisor had ever taught him. When the Inksayer described the word spell and the thoughts that were forced when his eyes rolled back, Rekmeed felt his heart sink. He said that the word spell always guided him. He always wrote whatever word it led him to. They all did, since the birth of the Marked Child and the rituals she performed. Inksayers had been guided by the will of the word spells. Rekmeed kept his notes hidden from most of the other silencers, always ensuring to lock his journal and the book in his drawer. He did so, his meal now finished and his thoughts turning to Anthony. The boy was a recruit, on his way to graduation, serving out his required time in the prison. Rekmeed had spent a decade of his life as a recruit. He spent 4 years leading up as a silent keeper and had been a part of the silencers since his 14th year. Prior to graduation, all recruits had to serve time in one of the prisons scattered throughout the kingdom of Meinhort. The position of king had switched so rapidly, and the silencers had organized so quickly, that they built off of pre-existing prisons and had reinforced the cells. The prisons had originally served as the Order's Guard presence in every city. They still housed the living quarters of the city's Order's Guard. The prisons held Inksayers, whether traveling or domestic, as well as any branded found in the city walls. The branded were only kept alive if they could be imprisoned without chance of escape. If not, they would be executed. Whenever a recruit graduated, they were given the S badge of a silencer. After the graduation, they would continue to serve out their time in the prison until they were either promoted to being a hunter or recommended for special assignment. The silent believed that time spent in the prison helped every silencer prioritize, ever being near the realities of failure. Rekmeet had graduated a month ago, and he had only done so because of the silencers who helped him get there. He felt a connection to the boy and helped him however he could. Another bowl of stew in his hand with a piece of bread sticking out from the steaming surface, Rekmeet made his way down the hall. He passed through Sector 4 on his way and came to a stop when he finally found himself in the third sector at the end of the right wing. The hall connecting one sector to the other was the same all the way through. Barren, other than the occasional lantern hanging down from the wall, and the ever-present Order's guard. Spaced out every 20 feet or so, they held their positions in the halls, ready at a moment's notice to respond to unruly prisoners or a difficult new arrival. A smile spread across his face as he saw the boy seated behind the desk in front of him. Anthony could not have had more than 20 years to his name, meaning that he had climbed through the process quicker than most. The prisons maintained the presence of a silencer in Sector 1 and recruits in the other four. As of the last few weeks, Thorin had started to leave Rekmeet on his own in the first sector, and brought him great joy to oversee such a promising recruit. "Half past, Anthony," Rekmeet exclaimed in greeting as he approached. The metal surface of his S-pin shined vibrantly from his shoulder under the flickering flames. "And a great start to the second," the boy responded in kind. "Have your studies been reasonable?" Before the boy could answer, the iron doors to Sector 3 swung open and closed quickly. The sound of shuffling feet and rattling chains could be heard, interspersed with the sound of two distinct voices bickering. Rekmeet turned away from Anthony and towards the door. His smile dropped and he felt his face contort into a scowl, but only for a moment as Rekmeet quickly regained composure. The man who had entered was a hunter, a fully decorated silencer. He looked the exact opposite of Rekmeet, long blonde hair pulled back, greased with many oils. Rekmeet's black and short-cut hair barely even dropped past his brow. His own tanned skin seemed crispy in comparison to the man's pale complexion. The hunter had a beautiful face. Whether a smirk or scowl was present, a charm lingered at the corners. The glow from the candlelight always bounced off his face in the weirdest way. Rekmeet's own was torn to shreds. The right side of his face held a scar that ran from cheekbone to chin, pockmarks surrounding the flesh around it. The man was followed by two fellow hunters, a fourth man centered in the gaggle of them, shackles locked into place at his feet and arms, chains running around his body in an array. "Jairus," Rekmeet managed, lessening the harsh tone he started to say it in. "Got a fresh one for you, Rekmeet," Jairus said as they tossed the man to the floor. "Inksayer?" Rekmeet questioned as he looked down at the burnt stump that lay at the end of the man's left arm. "Aye, made and carterized the wound myself. You'd imagine with the amount of scars he has, he'd be used to the pain. Wouldn't know it from the shrieks he let out," Jairus laughed. Rekmeet feigned a smile. As they brought the shackled man closer, Rekmeet got a better look at his wrist. It was proper to cut the dominant hand of an imprisoned inksayer, but it was certainly not Rekmeet's favorite part of the job. "Got a free cell?" Jairus asked as he looked to Rekmeet. Rekmeet looked to Anthony, pushing past Jairus' attempt to bait him. The man knew all too well that he was assigned to the first sector and was only trying to demean him. "Yes, sir," Anthony said after what felt like ages, a brass key on a ring clasped in his hand as he held it high. "Anthony will help your men with the inksayer," Rekmeet said to Jairus as the recruit led the silencers into the cell. "Finding ways to enjoy your time with the little ones yet?" Jairus asked, a smirk on his face. "I'm biding my time like everyone else," Rekmeet replied, fighting back annoyance. "The evidence is at your hip," Jairus smirked as his hand fell to the silver-plated stock of his own flintlock pistol. Rekmeet swallowed the anger burning inside of him, making sure it did not show on his face. Following tradition, Rekmeed's graduation ceremony ended with the gifting of a hand-selected flintlock pistol for him to carry with him as his personal weapon. A few days after, the newly pinned silencers were called out to the range, and it was the first time he would be able to fire it. Tradition also had it written that a hunter would load the first bullet of a silencer's firearm. Unfortunately, Jairus had loaded his and the barrel exploded. Thankfully, Rekmeed had studied the form and had kept his arm outstretched throughout. The shrapnel had cut into his face and seared his flesh. If he had been holding the pistol any closer, but he preferred not to think about that. "Maybe I will load it for you sometime," Rekmeed chided. "Ha! Maybe sometime," Jairus said as his hand fell from the pistol. "Sorry about your injury. Don't feel embarrassed about the range. It could have happened to anyone," he said with a smirk. "Of course not," Rekmeed managed through gritted teeth. "I trust that you have it handled from here?" His smirk spread into a full smile as he asked the question. Rekmeed nodded in response. "I truly wish I could stay to help you with this and finish catching up. But the Nightwalker isn't going to hunt itself," Jairus said before promptly spinning on his heels and walking his way out. Rekmeed stood still, stoic and straight like a plank, as the iron doors swung closed behind the blonde monster. A few moments after, Anthony emerged and the two other hunters made a prompt exit, following in Jairus' stead. "How bad was it this time?" the recruit asked as he took a seat behind the desk. "He brings up the pistol every time. It's like he is bragging." Rekmeed turned over his shoulder and looked down the hall, back towards his own sector. The weight in his hand brought his focus back and he set the bowl on the counter. "This is for you," he said as he slid the bowl closer to the boy. "Thank you," the boy exclaimed as he quickly grabbed the bowl in both hands, dipping the bread deeper into the stew. "Enjoy the rest of your shift." On that, Rekmeed turned and started to walk his way back to the first sector. Now that time had passed since his last interaction with Jairus, it no longer hung around in his mind. On his walk back, his thoughts turned to the book locked in his desk, and he started to think about what would surprise him next. The sound of a bell being struck by a solid chunk of wood rang out chaotically, drowning out all other noise in the prison. Rekmeed tossed the book onto the desk before him and stood quickly. He checked the strap to the sheath for his knife as he walked. The ring was too far away to be from the fourth sector. Rekmeed leaned forward and took off into a sprint. When he finally made it to the third sector, he heard commotion from one of the cells towards the back. Following the noise, he made his way back until he saw what was going on. Anthony and two of the order's guard were in the cell. One guard was thrown against the far wall, blood slowly ebbing from the back of his head. At the center of the cell lay the inksayer Jairus had brought in, grumbling in pain on his stomach, limp chains tossed about him. "What happened?" Rekmeed asked as his eyes took in the words of ancient language written in blood on the stone before the inksayer. It was for the word push, only a few sentences completed. "He managed to slip his stump free of the chains," Anthony answered immediately. "He cut his arm against the metal and used the blood to write. I came through for a routine check and saw the inkling. These two ran in and he laid that one out." With the new information, Rekmeed immediately walked towards the inksayer and grabbed the back of his hair, lifting his head. The man groaned out in pain as he did so, and Rekmeed saw the faint impression of the word push beneath his skin at the shoulder. The inksayer's dry lips parted as he strained, and Rekmeed held him there for another moment longer before bringing both of his hands down on top of the man's head. The inksayer's face met the stone beneath them hard, a loud crack sounding as the man passed out instantly. "You know what needs to be done," Rekmeed said as he unsheathed his blade and extended the handle to Anthony. The boy nodded. Rekmeed turned to the guard that was not bleeding. "Tell the medic to send someone to pick him up, then get us a torch." The guard stiffened and then departed quickly. Rekmeed turned in the cell and his eyes returned to Anthony. They fell to the fingers the recruit had wrapped around the handle. Every couple seconds, Rekmeed could see his hand tremble under the weight of the blade. When handling an inksayer, what do we do? His aim was to get the boy to rely on his training and to focus on that, moving past the shock of the situation. The boy took a long swallow, his throat moving down and settling into place slowly. Remove any inkling and cut off whichever hands remain. Rekmeet nodded in response. It seemed an eternity passed as Anthony stood there, holding the knife in his hands, getting comfortable with the feeling as they waited for the guard to return with the torch. Finally, the man entered, the bright glow of the flame drawing Rekmeet's mind from the realm where time seemed to pause. Rekmeet felt a part of him retreat, a surreal feeling settling in as he watched the boy work. Sound vanished from him. He could see, but his subtle movements did not feel his own. Rekmeet heard himself talk, encouraging the boy in a soft tone as he worked, but he was not aware of the words until he heard them. Even then, they were only an afterthought. He was enthralled watching the boy work. Time wrinkled and his sense of all else faded. Anthony dipped the blade into the flame and held it there for a moment, focusing on calming his breath as the metal slowly heated. He pulled it away finally, the tip glowing a violent red. "Place your knee at the small of his back," Anthony ordered to the guard quietly. Rekmeet felt the torch pass into his hands as the guard carried the action out. Anthony knelt over the inksayer and sunk the tip of the blade deep until he was under the letters of the inkling. The inksayer woke and reared up in pain, the guard's knee keeping him from throwing them off. The recruit ignored the intrusion and kept working, slicing slowly and deliberately, making sure to only go as deep as he needed to. The inksayer continued to wake up and pass out. Every time he awoke midway through a scream, only to fall unconscious again before the screaming finished. Rekmeet continued to watch, his eyes tracing the movement of the blade, impossible for him to tear them away. When the inkling was finally cut free, Anthony extended the blade towards Rekmeet. Rekmeet took the handle from the boy and stuck the blade into the flame of the torch, heating it up. Without turning, Anthony held his hand out to another guard who had showed up halfway through the cutting. The man placed a bottle in Anthony's hand, and the recruit poured the spirits onto the open wound. High-pitched screams tore through the room for a moment, bringing Rekmeet slightly back into himself. Just in time, too, he pulled the blade from the flame and handed it to Anthony, just as he was passing the bottle back. Anthony touched the flat of the blade against the wound he had made and seared the man's flesh. The inksayer's scream reached a higher volume before he finally passed out yet again, just before the blade was removed. "Now for his arm," Anthony said to the guard who had been pinning down the prisoner. The guard shifted so that he sat on the small of the man's back and placed his foot just above the wrist on his left hand, pinning it down. Anthony stood and moved to the other side of the man, kneeling once again. Rekmeet felt himself start to retreat again as the boy dipped the blade into the flame and held it there for a moment. No words were said as the metal started to slowly hum and sing as the heat built up. Anthony removed it from the fire and started to work, his free hand falling just below the foot of the guard. The boy started to saw, falling into the mindless work, slicing back and forth. Finally, the tension vanished and the blade clanged to the floor, reverberating as it fell out of the recruit's hand and bounced on the ground. Without thinking, Rekmeet passed the torch into the boy's hand, and Anthony brought the flame to the new stump, cauterizing the wound. The inksayer screamed out yet again, and Anthony stumbled back, passing the torch off to the guard so that he did not drop it. Rekmeet and the guard who had been pinning the man down grabbed the inksayer by his shoulders and slid him back up against the wall. They worked in quick unison, grabbing the different chains and weaving them around the man, locking him into place where he needed to be. After ensuring that the man would not be able to escape again, the guards had gone upstairs to switch off, and Rekmeet was left alone with the inksayer. He had with him now a bottle of spirits they kept around for such occasions. Rekmeet woke the man as gently as he could, but the man responded by scuttling further away, feet slipping on the stone that was slick with blood, fear in his eyes. Rekmeet sighed as the man looked at him, terrified. "Drink," he said as he offered the neck of the bottle to the man. "It will help with some of your pain." The inksayer nodded and Rekmeet touched the bottle to the man's lips. "Why?" The man spoke through dry lips that were now slightly wetted, his voice coming out hoarse. "Spoken writing is forbidden in our kingdom. You know this as well as everyone else, but I am not from this kingdom," the man said before taking another gulp. I am a monk of Rant, the Inksayer said before sighing heavily, the words taking too much from him. The information washed over Rakmead and left him unsure of how he felt. Did Jairus go to Rant just to capture this man? Or was he in the wrong place without the right proof? It was rare, but there were times when the monks sent messengers to the kingdom. They were allowed in if they refrained from using magic within the walls, and had papers to prove who they were and for what reason they were traveling. The news brought multiple issues to light, but none that Rakmead had time for at the moment. He was certain he would cross paths with the Inksayer again, but there was no need to rush it, for the man was not going anywhere for a long time. A smile spread across his face as Rakmead came around the corner and saw Anthony seated at his desk, working past his exhaustion from the experience. You did good today, Anthony, he said as he brought his hands to the top of the counter. Better than I did with my first. Anthony looked up at that, a small sparkle shining in one eye, but the look quickly disappeared. He never should have been able to write an inkling under my watch. Rakmead held up a hand, stopping the boy. We cannot be aware of everything that happens within these walls at all times. That is why we have protocols. We do as much prevention as possible, but damage control is where we focus. Why don't we cut both of their hands off before chaining them? Rakmead could feel the boy reaching for understanding. We try to only do what is deserved. If it is possible to keep one of them chained without maiming them, we will do so. When they have lost the privilege to have arms, we act. Rakmead pulled his hands away from the counter and started to turn when a thought occurred. Today you acted, the way a silencer is supposed to. The boy seemed to perk up a bit at that. Rakmead could tell that his words meant something. You should join us at the bar tonight. Get a mug with some real hunters. It would be my pleasure, Anthony responded as he sat up in his chair. Rakmead turned and started back towards his sector, a smile on his face. Now that the boy had something to look forward to, it would help him focus for the rest of his shift. Rakmead made his way back to Sector 5, ready to be seated at his desk once again and to get back to his reading. His mind was still reeling from dealing with the Inksayer, and he knew that the process of taking notes would help him calm his thoughts. As the sector came into view, he realized that was not going to happen. A short but wide man stood at the counter, long gray and black beard matching his hair. His eyes were scrunched tight and wrinkles spread out in an array of branches. We don't switch for another 2 hours, Thorn. What are you doing here? The man had taken Rakmead under his wing when he got to the prison, just like he had with every new silencer over the last 5 years. Thorn had been a silencer since the very beginning, serving the Lord of Silence for 2 decades. He had made his way through the ranks, finding himself taken off of the street and placed in the prison, no longer actively hunting. Thorn had been a silencer during the dark days. Rakmead found the man preferred to talk about his more recent years. I don't make the decisions, Rakmead, only answer to their call, Thorn replied, his scruffy voice matching his beard. And what decision has been made, he asked, guessing at where things were going. You've been requested for duty outside the wall for your last 2 hours. Caden, Rakmead felt a smile start to emerge and had to push it back. Yeah, don't stand there acting like you're not pissing your britches in anticipation. Go help kill some Lakesies. Get one for me. You got it, Thorn. Rakmead was already out the oak doors before he stopped shunning back to the old silencer. He made his way for the stables next to the prison, excited to see Strider again. It had been a while since he'd been given an excuse to ride his steed. He always loved those days. As he entered the stable, he saw the short blonde hair and childish grin of his best friend. Caden was already seated atop his black horse, Stalker, and he held the reins to Strider. Good to see you, brother, Caden said as he tossed Rakmead the reins. He was happy to see that his friend had already tossed the saddle on top of his horse. Rakmead climbed atop the white hired mare and settled in. Perimeter duty? He asked as he looked over at his friend. Caden flashed back a smile, his sapphire eyes shining vibrantly as he did so. Captain asked me what I wanted to do with the rest of my day. Told me I could request 2 spots for the hunt. Figured it'd be just like the old days. You outdid yourself, Rakmead responded before bringing his heels into the belly of Strider. Together, the two took off and headed towards the southern wall. I hope you all enjoyed that chapter. Check in next episode for Chapter 3, The Prodigal Father. And as always, the song I used was Fluidscape by Kevin McLeod and Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license, at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.